Once again, it's my privilege to welcome you to our broadcast today, and I do so with full confidence in the sovereignty of God, in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, my Lord, in the prevailing of He, the Holy Spirit, in bringing forth all that has been determined. And we look to our Lord, we look to our God, we honor Him in the Trinity of His persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and believe that He shall indeed accomplish all that He has set out to do. And this determination being made in eternity, being confirmed in the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh, and having so come into the world and declared the being and the existence of God in such a way as to provoke true worship among those indeed who believe on Him, who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose, who are they who have fallen upon His mercy and are seeking His grace in all that they do. How we delight to preach the good news that all of those things that God has required, He is able to manifest them in His people, give them ability that they can truly respond. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no man says, Lord, Lord. And yet it is necessary that every knee bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that to the glory of God the Father. My friend, that will be accomplished either in this life or in the one to come. And when I say the one to come, there's alternatives. And the fact is that those indeed who bow the knee now, who indeed confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whose lives are geared toward following Him in all that they do, that He is at the center of their world, that He is their life, and that they live in anticipation of an eternity with Him. Those that it has already been done, the knee has bowed. To those that refuse and rebel in time to come, when indeed He shall appear in judgment, when there is no recourse at that time, when it is too late and nothing more would be done in the way of salvation, even those will bow and will confess that indeed this one is Lord. The scripture describes them as crying out for the stones to fall on them, to cover them and to hide them from the face of the one that sits on the throne. Folks, He's sitting there just now. He's ruling and He's reigning. And He is seeing to the needs of His people. He is caring for those that call upon Him. He is looking to their circumstances, whether they realize it or not. And there is far more than He does than we can realize. There's far more than He is that we can acknowledge. And yet we have a sense of the wonder of His majesty, of His sovereignty, of His might, of His power. And then we have a marvelous sense of His love. And this has been shown to us, as I've already said, in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So confessed the apostles before those that would accuse them and would try to prevent the preaching of the gospel. And so it is with we who know the Lord, truly know the Lord, and live our lives seeking to serve Him. May it ever be so with you. I want to bring your attention to a word of warning today, and this is going to be found in 1 John chapter 4, where I'll be reading the first 6 verses. 1 John, and remember these, the writings of John came much later in his life. It's even thought that the Gospel of John may have been written very late in his life. And the thought is that when he wrote these epistles, that he was perhaps 90 years old. There is no question that John had suffered. He had been in exile. There are several things that had taken place, but we understand that there is an alertness, there is a keenness of mind that is given through the power and presence of He, the Holy Spirit, and so he was quite aware of the dangers that faced believers. He was quite aware of the forces that were at work in the world to oppose the knowledge of Christ in the minds of any. And so this we would bring to you at this time. Reading then, beginning at verse 1 of 1 John chapter 4, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And may God bless once more the reading of his word. We, throughout this epistle, this first epistle of John, there are those things that identify those who are born again of the Spirit of God. And even here, as we come to another consideration of that, it is discernment, or the ability to discern truth and error, the false from the true, those that are genuinely of God, as opposed to those who are not. And in all of these things, it is one of the indicators, if you will, that where there has been a work of grace done in the heart of an individual, where one is saved, then there will be a sensitivity to sin. There will be a sensitivity to anything that is in opposition to Christ Jesus our Lord, and therefore unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and is in opposition to the knowledge of Him. And so this is that which we are to guard. We're warned elsewhere, guard your minds, keep your minds, and thus we are to endeavor to maintain a way of consciousness of God and before God. John will soon return to the overarching theme of proven love. But here we will deal with an ever-present thought, something that needs to be taken into consideration. We fear being intolerant, but may, in the process of seeking to tolerate, grant credibility to those things which oppose God. Now, here's what I mean by that. I find that I, in as much I've studied the Word of God for a long time, don't misunderstand me, I have no illusions whatsoever about having conquered or having superior knowledge to any other. I find myself often learning from young students of the Word of God, and for this I give thanks, because the Bible is a living document. It is the living Word. It is setting forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's vibrant, it's alive, it is that which appeals to God's people. And so the idea that somehow or another I am going to completely, and to use the term, nail it, that I'm going to get it down and I've got it to the point that I don't need to know anything else, and thus I'll come off and I'll tell you what to do. No, I am preaching unto you this which is set forth of the Word of God. I'll be honest with you, in my approach to preaching the gospel, I am very conscious of staying as closely as I can, as I am able to do, with what is written there in the Word. I'm not going to go off and speculate. I'm not going to try to extrapolate. I'm not going to presume. I am not going to try to engage in a private interpretation, but rather let the Word of God say what the Word of God says. And so this we will do. And so, but this then brings me to this thought of toleration. I have to be very careful that I'm not so locked in to my own situation that I believe that anybody that's not exactly like me is wrong. That's not what we are to be. On one occasion, the disciples came to Jesus and said, there's other people who are preaching and doing all of this type of thing. And he just quite simply said, if they're not against us, then leave them alone. Who whatsoever is not against me is for me. And so that thought that I am a Baptist, I am so by conviction, and yet I understand that God is not bound to that idea. He's not bound to up in and housed only in the Baptist church. And so consequently, I look not for that thought of a denomination, but rather, what think you of Christ and what is coming forth from that? So I've got to be careful. However, that judgment is understood. Judge not lest ye also be judged. What was he saying? Don't judge each other. Don't get into the situation where you think you can be somebody else's judge. That is hateful to God that we endeavor to do so. But we make no apology for defending the truth. And so when it is clearly set forth in the Word of God, then we're not going to apologize for that. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It's what the Word of God says. I don't want my opinion. I don't want your opinion. I want the truth as it is in Christ Jesus set forth in the Word of God. The threat addressed here was very pronounced then, and it still exists, although it may be more subtle in its appearance. We're ever reminded that all that opposes God directs its efforts toward Christ and is thus called Antichrist. The first order of attack with them will always be on the deity of Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you mean, the deity? That is, that he is truly God manifest in the flesh. And you say, well, doesn't everybody know that? Obviously not, because there are those, and they're going about today. I would highly recommend to you that, indeed, when someone comes knocking on your door telling you they want to share the Word of God with you, first ask them this question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh? And the fact is, pardon me, that they will have to confess, well, no, but let me explain to you, and they'll start to do something else. But as far as I am concerned, the truth of the Word of God is that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's Paul talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So any spirit that declares otherwise is not of God. And so this is where it must begin. And so we've got to be careful. And so as we look to this passage of Scripture, it is a personal responsibility that is first set before us. And it's not something that can be delegated to another. Rather, it is to be personally exercised. And so he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so in looking to this, first of all, this precious thought, in that something that I think it's important that we realize this. And if I seem to be somewhat redundant, I won't apologize because I think this is important. But we are equipped with a sense of that which opposes. In other words, when John says try the spirits, he is not saying look to your own abilities or just look, you know, figure it out, put them to certain physical tests or whatever it might be. But when he says try the spirits, the implication there is that we have the ability to try the spirits. That it is, and when he says believe not every spirit, he is talking about the application of true faith. And of course, faith, true faith, is directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It clings to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is revealed to us from faith to faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so we understand that just how critical that is. So when he says, believe not, or don't you have faith in every spirit, but look it over. First of all, you've got to determine whether they are of God. And this, the statement that he makes here implies, if not states, sort of almost emphatically, that that ability is given us who know the Lord, who are born again of the Spirit of God. It's given us to be able to know the difference. I have heard many make this statement. It don't matter what you believe, just as long as you're sincere about it. It don't matter how you serve God, and people will just go to the point where they will say, well, no, it's okay, just be whatever you want to. You can just be any of the pagan religions or whatever. Every man just does what his own conscience thinks, and that makes it okay. And so, and they make the assumption from that that it's okay, that God is accessible, however you want to come about doing it. But when we see that one believes he is serving God by killing everybody that hates him, everybody that is not exactly like them, and others are doing various things, none of them really set forth outside of Christianity a plan or a scheme of redemption. And where is that we are saved through the merits of another. And that's why Jesus Christ is critical to what we see here. And that's why Jesus himself said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, indicating, number one, it would be through faith in him and what he has accomplished. It would be through his life, suffering, death, burial, resurrection, ascension back into glory, and present intercessory work that we would know acceptance with God. So we may agree with others and learn from others, but the sense must be ours. And so I'm here telling you, do this. And you say, well, just because you think I ought to do it because you tell me? No, I think you ought to do it because the Word of God says it. Beloved, are you beloved? Do you love the Lord? Is that the nature? Is that the manner of life that you know, that you enjoy with him? And then I would say to you, that if that be the case, then here is what the Word of God says. Be careful. Try the spirits. It's an emphatic warning. They are gone out. The devil has his messengers. The devil is pressing his agenda. He is relentless. He is constantly at the task. It's day and night. He's coming at us in every way that he can. He's addressing every sense that we have. He is attacking the human makeup in terms of that which would draw them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's only one test given. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Many in their sensational looks toward the future, and I say that because there's people that are just teetotally fascinated with the future and with what they believe is going to happen, that they have lost sight of the gospel and of day-to-day faith and a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're more concerned about being right about what's going to happen, and they're so convinced in many cases that they'll fight over it. But the fact is that the scripture does speak of a man of sin to be revealed, and he is referred to as the Antichrist. But listen to what John says. They're already here. Anything and Antichrist just simply means against Christ. These spirits that are against Christ, not against you, not against me, not against religion, against Christ. And so the devil will tolerate religion. He'll tolerate you. He'll just let you go along and just be religious and do all sorts of things. But he will oppose a right view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be emphatic with that. He hates what Jesus did on the cross. He hates the result that is brought out of it. And he will move in every way he can to denigrate that, to reduce it to a level of unimportance. He don't want you to talk about it. He don't want you to think about it. So what is it to confess that Jesus Christ has come into the world? The issue then and now is deity. We were told it was from the beginning, unto you a king is born. And it was prophesied that he would come and that he would be called the mighty God. And so to understand that and to believe that, and we must describe deity, godhood. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus the Christ. Jesus is his human name. The Christ is the anointed one of God. That is the Son of God. God the Son. And the Trinity has existed eternally. It didn't come into being. He has always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But now in the person of Jesus Christ, we behold. They saw him. They walked with him. John had seen him personally and had known fellowship with him. But even now, it was continuing on. So the issue then and now is the deity, the Godhood of Jesus Christ. He is treated lightly. He is treated sometimes superficially. He's treated in such a way as to, oh yeah, I know him. And it's casual. And the element of worship, the element of lordship is gone from it. And the fact that many will say the Lord Jesus Christ and then don't do what he says. He said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do it. The confession is that God himself was manifest in the flesh. And like other superficial confessions, care must be given to this one. I was troubled for years with the thought that many were naming the name of Christ, and yet I sensed that something was wrong. The fact of the deity of Christ anchors all other doctrine, but it does not set it aside. It doesn't push the truth to the side. It's not enough. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. That's all that matters. No, it's not all that matters. What do you believe about Jesus? Who is he? Who do you say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Well, they say, well, they'll say all kinds of things. And there might be some very complimentary things. But in the end result, if they cannot say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter did, then they don't have it right. And I'm not going to apologize for that. And nor will I apologize for calling that error, because here the scripture does just exactly that. So the Antichrist that should come is represented even now. Whatever is to come in the future in terms, and I believe that we're seeing it in our day, because institutions of morality, of true religion, of true faith, and all of these things are under assault. And in many cases, the nation has bowed to these things and now are being conditioned to more actively oppose the things of Christ. That spirit of Antichrist is moving, and it's around us. It is there. And so when we hear something come out, oh, it's okay to do this, or it's okay to think that, or we need to just be more open and more accepting to all sorts of situations, when, as a matter of fact, the scripture says, beware. That is denying the truth. That is going against that which the scripture reveals. So many will claim to believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, but then strip him of the attributes that tell us who he is. If whatever it can be said of God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, that just means all powerful, all knowing, all places at all times. These are attributes that he has as well. And so we are directed to him. He is God. And so the distinction is made. Being of God is accompanied with the assurance that comes from knowing and overcoming. And so he said this, and you are God's little children and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, they're of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. This is why religion can become popular, because when it's put in an acceptable form to the world, they can embrace it, and they'll go along with it. The problem is that the deity of Jesus Christ is ignored. The inspiration of the scripture is denied. The authority of the Word of God and the authority of Christ himself is pushed to the back burner and then becomes of no consequence at all. Their identity is with the world. The world hears them. The ultimate deception is to religiously address that which appeals to the flesh. And John says, if one knows God, he'll hear the gospel that John was preaching. This is what we understand, and hereby we know the difference. And I can sense that. I may not have all the details right, but on some things I do know this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He did so by offering himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin. He did so at the decree of God the Father, and he has been accepted. His offering has been accepted in the behalf of everyone that calls upon his name. Not everyone, but everyone that calls upon his name. And he, the Holy Spirit, is quickening that truth in the hearts of many. You must be born again. But I bid you just now, beloved, first of all, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And then fall upon the mercies of God. Look to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. There is salvation in no other. You have no hope apart from this. So flee those things which would deceive, even now. There's life for all who
can't save. Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwv.org. We at the Riverside Baptist Church cordially invite you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We're grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer.
Shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful ways,
and the things of earth will grow strangely
dim in the light of his glory.